Freaks. Another rabbit hole recap in the books. It was a good one. Hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you for supporting the show, for participating in the value for value model. We really appreciate it. Give us a subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. Smash it. Smash it as hard as you can. Break your phone or your computer.
Smash it with a brick.
You'll get the context of that at the
end of last week's episode, as is the nature of a poorly executed brick joke.
But please, smash the subscribe button. Maybe not do it with the brick. You don't have to break your phone. You don't have to break your computer. It's going to help us break the internet. Give us a rating, a review. If you're supporting us via podcasting 2.0 compatible apps, thank you for the sats you're streaming and boosting. We're going to win, freaks. This rip was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They make this thing, a block clock, which currently tells us that we're at block height 784,264. We're 584 blocks away from the next palindrome block. Thanks to CoinKite's block clock mini for helping me do that math off the top of my head. That's not the only thing they make, though. They make sats cards, which is an iteration on the open dime, NFC-enabled card. Tap it on the back of your phone, hit the link. Boom, you get an address associated with that card. You send it Bitcoin. It's a bearer instrument. You hand it off. Give it as a wedding gift. Give it as a birthday gift. Give it as a tip. Tip your mailman, your garbage man, whatever it may be. You have the tap signer. Same form factor, NFC enabled, but it's a private key. You can set up using apps like Nunchuck. You can do single sig, multi-sig. Really cool parlor trick for showing friends, new friends to Bitcoin, like, hey, look, this is how cool this technology is. I use the tap signer, plug in some information, and boom, I can broadcast this transaction from my mobile wallet. They've got the MK4, of course. They've got the best hardware wallets in the game. MK4 has got two secure elements, air-gapped. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to them with dice rolls. They just announced the Q1. Pretty sure pre-orders are still going on, may not be. The Q1 is an iteration on the MK4. It's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR code scanner. It beefed up MK4, same tech under, but new form factor. Go to coinkite.com. Try the code RHR. Try the code TFTC. Try CD. Might work. Don't know. But go get all their stuff. It's the best hardware in the space. Logan, how are you liking your Block Clock Micro?
I like it. It sits right next to my computer.
Okay. All right. He likes it. You heard it here first. You're not just hearing it from me, you're hearing it from Logan as well. You also heard a stupid brick joke. This rip was also brought to you by good friends at Unchained Capital. Unchained Capital is right down the hall from me right now. They're here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They're here to provide a great trading desk for you, IRAs, lending desk, inheritance protocol. If you're a Bitcoiner and you want to work with a company that is building the Bitcoin bank of the future, go to unchained.com. Their trading desk is incredible because you buy Bitcoin and it doesn't sit on Unchained's platform. You don't have to pull out any wallets to send it. If you have a vault set up, 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, and you go to the trading desk, you buy Bitcoin, picks up one of your addresses when you buy Bitcoin, boom, sends it to it. You don't have to do anything. Your wallets can be geographically distributed. It just goes straight to your vault, to your multi-sig vault. Go to unchained.com/trading. Check out their trading desk for looking to make big buys. Got those big buys you're looking to make. Going to want to use Unchained's trading desk because they can handle those big buys. We like big buys here. We need a pump. I'm not going to try and pump the price of Bitcoin. Just if you're looking to get in, go to unchained.com/trading. Enjoy this rip.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven. I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
What is up, freaks? Welcome back to RHR. Party rep. It got ninja launched on me. It's getting ninja launched on you. At a wedding in the Caribbean. Matt is at Bitcoin Park in Nashville with recurring guests. I think you both have been on like in the last 6 months, MVK and Vivek, both from Cold Card. They make the Cold Cards, both from Cold Kite. Gentlemen, how's it been in Nashville this week? Almost said Cold Kite.
Oh, that it's always fun to be here. You know, they know how to throw a party.
Yeah, they always have a different crew that comes in, and you know, a standard crew that's there, and the standard crew, their productivity severely suffers. But it's been very educational.
These weeks are always fun. We had the Product and Design Summit that was run by Connor Okus and Stephen Delorme. That was great. We had our monthly bit devs, which was fucking awesome. And they'll both be doing a tap signer and sats card workshop right after this.
It'll be a Socratic workshop. We're going to onboard the world. They're going to onboard each other.
There you go. See, that's why we hired him.
You'll be happy to know I'm about to get a sats card for a wedding present.
Which Ooh, one?
Nice.
Do we have like a happy marriage or anything?
We not birthday, yet.
Yeah.
Wait, which one are you giving?
I like one of our one of the ones that we got self branded. It's not like appropriate for a wedding, but there's Bitcoin on it, so take it away.
Wait, the 1031?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, I want to give the Your Brand Here one for a wedding. That's my favorite one, I think.
Is this the part where I rant about the wallets that don't work on flights?
Go for it.
Yeah.
So I'm on, you know, like I'm just below the altitude that the Wi-Fi stops working well. Sort of like when they start like descending, right? So, and there's no LTE yet. And my the person sitting beside me, it's her birthday, so I'm like trying to load the sets card to give to her, right? Like as a gift, it's a happy birthday gift because we just made the happy birthday cards, and none of the Bitcoin wallets. I must have like 12 of them on my phone, like work without internet. Like half of them don't even, the app doesn't even open. So like I had to totally like lie to her. So like I copied the address from the QR on the back, and then I told her there's Bitcoin here. Happy birthday, right? And then like as soon as the airplane is like landing, I turn on and I get like LTE, and I'm like sending her the Bitcoin.
Because you can't send offline on a lot of wallets.
Yeah,
on a lot of mobile wallets.
Yeah, no, there's no UTXOs.
So I had
UTXO set, right?
I had a similar situation happen to me with an OpenDime once. So like I give them the OpenDime in the envelope, right? And then there's a link to my guide, which is that we run BTC.com, the link to the guide on how to spend it, right? But it was a very last minute wedding gift, and I just like threw the OpenDime in there, and I didn't have a computer with me to actually read the address and like make the payment. So I was like, I'll make the payment later.
He was fast.
I'm so known to give Bitcoin that by the end of the wedding, he had already checked the balance, and he was like, serious. "There's no Bitcoin on here. Like, what did I fuck up?" I was like, "Oh, I still need to send it. Like, it'll come. it'll come tomorrow. Like after I wake up."
But you know what? What I realize is that, like, please, mobile app developers, keep a copy of the UTXOs that the user has. It's not like it's a phone wallet. It's gonna be that many for like on chain, and then just like sign the transaction, right? And just wait to broadcast later. Like who cares? Even if there was a spent coin that cancels the transaction, which is very rare in this situation, like still worth it, anyways.
Yeah,
like on Sparrow, you can construct a transaction if you're not connected.
Yeah, but Craig would never make a phone app.
Yeah.
Well, that gets a good point. Like any good discussions at product and design meetup that like what other areas of the stack need better UX? Any coin selection talk? Anybody making it as easy as possible to do coin selection?
Nah, they all got caught in the nerd snipes.
I liked Gerald Rod gave gave the same presentation that I think he gave in Austin like 3 weeks ago with the Bitcoin Core on Android.
Yes. Harold.
That was pretty cool. He gave a demo. Like he showed the.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm bullish on that.
Same.
And yeah. He had the kiosk like a little structure to hold it.
Yeah.
So you could have like your star being running on Core.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see that, you know, progress because I think the last big project like that was AB Core. And there was like a workshop that Udi did that Larry, like Lawrence Newham, Nahum worked on. And after that, I don't know where that project went. And I guess you could have the full blockchain on a micro SD or something. And then that was 400 gigabyte micro SD at that time. But now you can get like terabyte ones. But the read and writes, they're bound to fail.
See, here's the problem, right? Like, we're making their pod be Bitcoin Review and we're boring their audience.
We just dove into like technical rabbit hole. Yeah.
You're not boring us. But there was this has probably been the most fun week on Bitcoin Twitter in a while because of this New York Times article. I just thought
shout
it was
out
funny
to Pierre.
That was so good.
Pierre fucking crushed it. That was classic Pierre.
It had been a while since we had a Beatstein or Pierre meme that really sort of like, you know, in the
hit.
Way that
it fucking hit.
Like only they can do that level of like.
They have a layered cake of troll that they give to them as like a present.
Like you
and
remember,
Beatstein is emperor troll. Pierre is king.
Remember like Beatstein did the meme war presentation at BitBlock Boom 2019? And it was all about like trolling the opposition, and they didn't even see the presentation because it wasn't even live streamed, and they all lost their shit on Twitter, just completely proving his point.
Yep.
It was on that level.
Yep. I mean, remember Run the Numbers?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so good.
So, I mean, we should, just for our audience that isn't aware, like we should explain what Pierre's video was.
Yeah, so before Pierre's, before Pierre's video, the New York Times, a desperate blog looking for click views, wrote an article calling out Bitcoin miners and particularly focused on Riot and their impact on the Texas grid and their involvement in demand response and the fact that they get paid by utilities companies when they turn down their machines and sell electricity back to the grid. So they try to triple attack it from an environmental standpoint, an economic standpoint, trying to say that they're gouging residential electricity consumers and then coming at them for putting the grid at risk. A lot of factual errors in the article. I mean, they didn't even get Rockdale, Texas, right? They called it Rockland, Texas.
I mean, that's how you know, right? Like journalists making that kind of glaring mistake, It's offensive.
It's a hack shop. Yeah.
I mean, there's no journalism, right?
It's
the commie blog, commie newspaper.
They made it hazy too. The picture was very hazy.
I made the picture hazy. I think level 39 or somebody else did some analysis of the actual picture file, and it was obviously manipulated. But yeah, I mean, it's another attack in a long string of attacks that we've been warning you guys about for some time, like Bitcoin mining is bad for the environment. But I thought going back, so they called Riot out specifically in this New York Times article. Riot, their corporate account responds to the tweet that the article was included in. And it was a 3-minute video of Pierre going around the Rockdale facilities and actually measuring the CO2 parts per million that were in the air.
It's like a little CO2 meter.
Let's go outside. Let's measure it. You know, typically it's around 450. Okay. It goes inside, puts it to the ASIC. Oh, you know what? This is surprising. It's 425. There's actually less emissions in here. You know, maybe it could be error. We don't know.
I mean, it proves like, you know, look, there is no CO2 emissions with Bitcoin mining.
Well, I think that was the beauty of this particular troll. And this is like part of a bigger theme that we've been discussing here. And I think it validates what I've been trying to say when it comes to like Bitcoin mining as an industry. How do you engage in the debate with the climate hysterics and I think Pierre proved that you just trolled them and you ridiculed them and you make them, because what they did in that video is the best troll, because what he did was draw out from these people who really don't care that Bitcoin mining uses energy at the end of the day. They care that they can't control Bitcoin. And since they can't control it, they're going to use energy waste or over energy usage as an excuse to try to shut it down. And for years, they've been saying Bitcoin mining pollutes the environment with CO2. And what Pierre's video, Ride's video, forced these people to do is come out and say, no, it's ridiculous that you think ASICs produce CO2. Like, it comes from power generation. I was like, yeah, you dummies. That's what we've been trying to tell you for like 5 years now. Thanks for admitting that. And now, why are you just...
And then the irony after that of PC Gamer then going off on him and falling for the troll. Phenomenal. Like, there's so many layers to the troll. They did Pierre. I mean, and then
like
it.
There is more gamers like consuming electricity than
all those consoles. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, and the computers too, like GPUs and the computers. Yeah. I think it really highlighted too the false dichotomy, because a lot of these people are proponents of electric vehicles, which they claim are zero emissions.
Same grid.
So if electric vehicles are zero emissions, then so are ASICs, because all the ASICs aren't directly releasing emissions; they're just consuming energy.
And the ASICs don't even have batteries.
And I think we can easily make an argument when it comes down to the electric vehicles, particularly the batteries that it takes to make those possible. Like, that impact on the environment.
Yep.
Probably leaps and bound orders of magnitude larger than what it takes to construct a Bitcoin miner. But then,
sweet power
generation. Yeah.
We're gonna change the code.
But I think
they should fork it. I want to prove a stake fork of.
I want a Bitcoin ESG fork.
I'd love to jump on Def Chain.
Like that should be the clear narrative to the change the code people. Do it, please. Yeah, you actually can change the code. You don't need our permission.
Yes. Kind of the whole point.
Yeah.
The whole point of Bitcoin that it can change the code.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that'll be a fun airdrop.
I think the last 2 days have stoked an interesting conversation.
Be a great airdrop. Probably be a good return.
Exactly. Guys, seriously, we should promote this. Sorry, Marty. We got to really promote. It's going to be great returns.
Greenpeace, BTC,
Greenpeace
being listed on Coinbase.
Yes.
On a Tuesday night.
Let's get it done.
Limited volume to 8K immediately, but only for insiders.
Ty is
10,000X. Buy the shitcoin. No, but I do think it brought up this interesting discussion about how the Bitcoin mining industry particularly should engage in the environment and mental debate, if at all. Like, I think we should simply say no, sorry. Like, I don't believe that there's a climate crisis. I'm going to use the energy. Well, I'm not going to, because that's the other thing. A lot of the response,
I love these climate people. They just keep giving us more memes and more trolls. Like, that skull is beautiful.
Wasn't Florida supposed to be underwater about 50 years ago or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. The island I'm on right now in the Cayman is probably supposed to be drowned like 40 years ago. It's looking like it has more sand than ever right now. But it's people in our industry that really pissed me off. Like, Nick Carter came out with that tweet thread. It was basically like, we need to give them better data about our emissions profile and our energy use. It's like, no, nothing's ever going to be good for these people. Again, they don't care.
Dude, the CBC did this article. They reported on this, apparently a study that shows that because of climate change, we have more home runs in baseball. No joke. This is a fucking like major fucking news organization claiming that because the warmer air is less dense, there's bigger home runs. It has nothing to do with the fact that these guys are all like training now with modern shit.
And some sweet roids.
They also make the stadiums more home run.
Yeah.
The new Yankee Stadium is like designed for home runs.
Yeah, it's right field is like 10 feet shorter than others, just so you can have more home runs. It's insane.
It's comedic. I mean, like, they used to be at least insidious. Right, like a little bit more sort of, you know, trying to be serious scientists, right? Now it's just completely pathetic. Like, they don't even try anymore.
Well, that's That's the thing too, because
as long as you can push the narrative hard enough.
Well, yeah, but there was this. There was this discussion on Twitter today, like Niraj from Coin Center trying to browbeat people for, particularly Pierre and Riot for putting out that video, and you say that's not the way we should message these people, which is, I think. Niraj is a product of DC, the swamp that he's been seeped in. He's trying to play nice within this political structure and convince the politicians. This is another conversation we have going on. Like, does it make sense to go to the federal government and try to get them to make change? Or do we go and focus on your casual observer that makes up like 80% of the population? Do we really just need to get them on board with like, hey, this is good. Like, it's really not bad for the environment. Like, spending all that time and effort and money lobbying politicians. I think if we can just get 80% of your average individuals, like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Bitcoin's good. I get the energy use case. And they'll make the politicians blow with the wind.
You know, like Bitcoin voluntary, right? So people are gonna do all kinds of things. Go fucking do it. I mean, if you wanna go burn, you know, $1 billion trying to like have dinners with a bunch of front runners on stock, all inside traders. You know, go do it. I mean, you know, but also don't tell the people who don't do that, who wants to make great trolls, to not don't do that either. Like,
agreed.
You know,
yeah, it's just interesting the pompous high ground some of these people take in this space. Like, oh, yeah, you got to do it this way.
Don't do this, but also please come to our dinner. We have this auction donation party.
Yeah. Enough about that. We don't talk too much about that. Is there anything else from the New York Times? Anything we should add about Bitcoin mining and energy particularly? Well, that's the other thing.
I didn't actually read.
You should touch on the Texas stuff, right? Like, I don't really understand what's going on with the demand response, but you're probably in the know, Marty.
Yeah, we touched on this last week after it came out. And there was
any other
discussion.
Developments?
It like got gone through further the house. I think it got through the Senate today, actually. I think it got voted through. So I think it's going to go through in Texas. I think I saw Natalie Smolensky or something like that tweeting about it. But it doesn't kick miners off immediately, but I think it does limit the amount of Bitcoin mining operations that can be engaged in demand response. If I recall correctly from last week, they're trying to cap it at like 10%. Of ERCOT's demand response program.
Well, it's probably good for Bitcoin too. It decentralizes mining again. It was getting a little too
much in Texas.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know you guys want it, but it's kind of like good that, you know.
Marty's like, I'm a Tennessee man, even though I'm Texas. So doing the Lord's work technically. Decentralizing the hash.
There was. I mean, there was this moment. I was like, everybody's coming to Texas. Like, let's go for mining, particularly. Everybody went to Texas for mining. Got some operations in Tennessee. It's not as busy up there, which I like. Stay away.
Not yet.
So Texas, I think that got through the Senate. Looks like that's going to get signed into law. So another thing, there's been like a lot of lobbyist groups down here. Doesn't seem like they were able to get through the government. No. This week, I think, the last 10 days, it's been like, is it worth all these lobbying? Do these people actually care? Will they ever act in a way that benefits Bitcoin and the industry going around it? Or do Bitcoiners have to have the harder conversation of like, hey, we're not going to get any help along the way. We got to figure out a way to make this as robust as possible so it doesn't matter that the state's clamping down on it.
I have a theory about lobbying. It's like, I feel like they essentially like kind of like signal to you that they're opening to hearing from you and start like taking that like money through other means kind of thing.
Yeah.
And on hopeless issues.
But ready for the bribe.
Yeah. They keep on taking it.
They have to play
you along. Just need one more party. You know what I mean? So like, it's like they keep on doing that. It's like they essentially like OnlyFans Yep. kind of style, you know, so that you keep on spending that money on the lobby and the lobby and the lobby.
Every politician is really just an OnlyFans influencer.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're all, yeah.
You're just one donation away from getting your law passed.
We're almost there.
You're about to see the titties.
We're almost
that's right. No, no.
That's right.
Blasphemy.
Zaps for nips. Oh yeah, OnlyFans is coming.
Don't look at the poor guys. Come on.
Marty, you're going to be proud of this. I think people are working on a Noster version of OnlyFans.
Only nips.
Yeah, only nips. And you get a zaps for the nips.
I'm going to only subscribe to relays that don't syndicate notes from this client.
But for people that don't know, NIPs are Noster improvement proposals.
Kind of. Oh, like yes.
NIPs. And that's why we call them NIPs. Yes. So that's where the NIPs are coming from.
Hell yeah. Noster's been blowing up. I mean, Twitter went on a... That's another thing maybe we should talk about. Twitter as a platform becoming
Twitter
more restrictive.
Is so dark. It has become very doom scroll. Anything you look at, it's like, oh, look, Taiwan's encircled by China. They're one day away from being conquered.
Oh, the Substack thing. The Substack thing happened since the last RHR, right? Blocking all the Substack links.
Yeah, something we should talk about. Yeah, Substack. It seems that for some reason or another, Twitter, I don't know if they reversed it.
They were building Twitter. They were building Twitter features. And
notes,
I think, of the traffic that Substack gets comes from Twitter. So
Elon,
it was a Google move.
Switch.
He's like, fuck you. Yeah. Like, oh.
Elon flipped the switch. You couldn't like or retweet any Substack links. And if you search Substack on Twitter search, it switched the search to newsletter. Yes. You couldn't actually search the word Substack on Twitter search. I think it still stands today. Like, he's... It was not an accident. It was intentional.
Lin went on a tirade.
Yeah, Lin went hard.
Yes.
I mean, this is exactly why Noster exists. I mean, I would also say, you know, this is also why Ghost exists. The Ghost, like, if you have a self-hosted Ghost, it's not blocked.
We already have Ghost on Noster.
Marty has Ghost on Noster, too.
Yeah, I know, but his came late.
You got to
remember. We built a hook into Abla and the other Ghost-like client where I publish something via Ghost and it syndicates directly to Noster.
Oh, that's cool too. Yeah.
And Domus now has long form. It accepts the long form NIPs too. I think he's going to put a separate tab for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is exactly why Noster is important. The whole Twitter censorship conversation and the Noster conversation is going to be very similar
Perfect
to us.
Storm.
It's going to be very similar to us as the Perfect. Bitcoin as
Banking
the Bitcoin
crisis.
Conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. No, because we can already see it. We understand that Noster fixes this problem, but it's going to take like years of people being surprised by platform level censorship.
Yep.
And they're going to all slowly start to realize that Noster fixes it, but it's going to be fucking years. It's going to be that extremely frustrating kind of, you know, very early type
of
situation.
It starts with Bitcoiners who have, like, there's a lot of Bitcoiners that have Noster derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
It's kind of hilarious.
NDS. Yeah,
I actually see more people say Noster fixes this than Bitcoin fixes this.
Well, you know why there's a bunch of Bitcoiners that aren't on Noster yet, right? Because they'd have to actually manage private keys.
They're on Coinbase. They pretend to be like a hard plea, but they're really on Coinbase.
Is there Noster? Base, someone go invent that, the Noster key exchange.
By the way, so today, this is kind of just now, I think, NIP 15 got merged, so some zaps for this NIP, please. Noster marketplace for resilient marketplaces, so we now have a standard for you to do markets, like you can post your products.
Use the buzzword, a decentralized exchange.
Yeah, sure, whatever. I mean, or Craigslist, or
Noster Dex.
Yeah, or Backpage.
Yeah, see, Craigslist or OfferUp sounds like a good analogy.
If you're a lady who would be on Backpage, Noster is a much better place for you.
People like the Dex terminology.
I can't. Dex to me sounds like a shitcoin.
Oh, it is.
There was there was a listing for a Dex at some point.
Yeah, but this is awesome. We were talking about this. And I was specifically in the fall of Paxful as well, right? Yeah. To see a lot of these P2P marketplaces move to an open interoperable protocol like Noster. So it doesn't matter which front end you use. All the offers and everything is
well. I mean,
what's the protocol they're working on again?
No one.
Yes.
Something like that.
Oh no. No one's is the app. CivKit, I heard, is the protocol, but it doesn't matter because this feels to me like another situation where like Noster just
completely, it's too easy.
Noster bulldozed Blue Sky and like Dids and shit.
Blue Sky is dead
because Noster just fucking shipped and it was just an open protocol.
Yes, did.
And same thing with this. Yeah. Like, this is out there now, and we're going to start seeing people build on top of it.
It's going to blow TBG.
Volume will start actually going up, and then at that point, you just have the network effect, and we're not going to switch to a different protocol.
Because remember, like, markets are not just like a high-frequency sort of like exchange, right, for you to just do Forex. It's also like, it's as simple as somebody posting a Craigslist.
I want to buy a fucking truck, right? Bitcoin.
You have an offer. Somebody makes a bid.
Yeah.
Right? So, and what's cool is that it can attach the means of settling the contract as well. So you can make the JPEG Degens invented a fantastic way to do PSBTs for trades. So they could sell their inscriptions.
And like a trust minimizer.
Yeah. It's PayJoin, really. And so like you could put the PSBT with an offer on Noster and try to do the stuff there. And I mean, you could even do your, you know, then you can go all crazy, your DSC, DGEN, max leverage, whatever, as well. But it's pretty
Marty
exciting.
Marty likes DLCs a lot.
I like DLCs.
Did you see his eyebrows perk up when you said DLCs?
I'm a big fan of DLCs.
I don't know if I'm being trolled or not.
No, there's three words.
No. He likes DLCs, and I really like DLCs.
DLCs, Noster, porn. His eyes light up right away when he hears any of those words.
The last one, because I can just tell everybody to stop watching porn.
Listen, like, what else? You know you have good technology when the porn people and the gambling people start to come.
Yes, that's how bandwidth increased for ARPANET, correct?
That's right.
Is this true, or is this just a line from Tropic Thunder that everybody's been running with for like 12 years? That's what because I think everybody takes it from that part of the movie.
It's probably
true.
No, seriously, it's totally true that like porn like revolutionized the web for like a lot of things.
Tropic Thunder took, first of all, must watch classic documentary.
Not PC at all in 2023.
That's right.
It was incredible. Watch it, you will be canceled.
Probably couldn't release.
That's why it's beautiful.
Don't
satire.
Watch that in the airplane.
But like porn even won like the VHS Betamax war or whatever.
Yeah. It's always like a useful indicator at the very least.
Because it's the people that don't care about the technology. They just want to get to the content.
Or
the solution. The solution.
It's a squirrel just chasing a nut.
No, I think in the Pam Anderson documentary or the Pam and Tommy Lee documentary, they go into like how that was like the highest, most popularly sold VHS of that year. Just insane.
It's probably one of the most famous boat scenes.
More famous than the Titanic. another thing that happened this week, shifting to geopolitics, you have Brazil in China, I believe in Shanghai, meeting with President Xi, their President Lula. I think this happened yesterday, last night. Yeah, but Lula went in there, and again, NVK, Vivek, the last 3 weeks have been talking about like this growing de-dollarization. Had Saudi Arabia come out last week and say, hey, we're not really too excited to keep up the relationship with the United States. Now you have Lula in China openly asking why.
You got the BRICS boys right here, dollars. Brazil and India.
But, you know, the U.S. authorized this, right? Remember when they said that they would like to see other countries maybe using a different currency or whatever it was, like about a year or two ago? So the countries know they're not going to get bombed. No, but they know they're not going to get bombed if they use something else.
That's what happened to Libya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your gold. Well,
Hillary happened to Libya.
We came, we saw, we came, we saw, we died. No, he said, what did she say? She said something like, we came, he died, we won, or something. That was something really weird.
Yeah. That's right. She being gassy the fuck out of that place.
So what do you think? Do we think this accelerates?
I think it's different. It's not like the end of the world for the dollar, in my opinion. I think it's just now actually contested. And I've always, you know, you can wait for the dollar to die forever. You know, you think 08, it's like, it's done. It's fucking done. This is a wrap. And we're still here.
I mean, come on. You know, like, you ask any person in any of those countries which currency they want.
It's the dollar.
It's the dollar.
I'll be the dollar bearer on the panel today. Go Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, no, Bitcoin's great. You don't have to sell Bitcoin to me.
No, Bitcoin's the lifeboat while these guys have their little fiat battles.
You can't even hold dollars on a cold card.
I was going to say that. We can't. even if I wanted to, there is actually no means for you to put the dollar in the cold card.
It's so antiquated.
I know. It's weird, right?
What if it was a Charmian dollar?
No.
It requires trusted third parties.
Yeah, there's kind of no point. I mean, maybe we could store the tokens.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. There's still no need.
There's no point. The Charmian stuff is awesome. The new Bitcoiners version of eCash is awesome.
Do you want to trigger them? What layer is this?
Layer 3. It really is layer 3. I'm confident that this is not a troll.
Like, I would agree with that.
It is. Because you're not forced.
Is it not just a different layer 2?
No. Because see, for me, layer 2 means you have to settle.
One of you have to go over the OSI model after.
So you have to settle.
So Liquid's not layer 2, right?
No, Liquid has nothing to do with Bitcoin.
it has the same script, man, and some cool new opcodes. Leave them alone.
Yeah, you don't work there anymore.
I know, that's why you said them instead of leave us.
That was a joke. No, I like Liquid, but you know, it just kind of didn't happen.
It's crypto catnip.
But see, anyway, so you get forced into clearing on Bitcoin on layer 2, right? Like it's like fully integrated.
But that's Lightning at least.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, Lightning's like batched layer 1 transaction.
Yeah, now eCash tokens, modern Pulse Bitcoin eCash tokens,
like the new breed,
yeah, like Charmian. Essentially Cashew and Fedimint.
Yeah,
they leverage Lightning to get in and out, but
and on chain.
Well, not
it's nothing. Nothing says
it's not instant.
It doesn't have to be Lightning.
Yeah,
specific.
but it's like it's not Bitcoin. It's just a token. Like it's just a shitcoin.
Bitcoin's the deposit withdrawal interoperable method.
Well, it's because you.
So why not layer 5 or
I think
eight
David Chaum like failed, one, because he's a greedy asshole, but two,
yeah, like multiple shitcoin projects.
Yes. But two is because there was no on and off ramp.
Right. He had to connect to banks and banks have the permission. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So once you have Bitcoin as the interoperable communication kind of that's method.
Right. I had no idea.
I kind of want to put Cashew in like Sats cards.
Make it happen. That'd be interesting.
That could be cool.
I had no idea the Microsoft and Visa history with Chaum though.
Yeah. I mean, everybody did. He was very respected. He was an 80s cryptographer.
I mean, all the 80s OGs.
If you go down like the DigiCash rabbit hole and stuff, it's a crazy rabbit hole.
I knew David Chaum got into some shitcoining, but what was drama
was
with Microsoft?
Or something like that?
He had multiple shitcoins. And then the most recently was even more fucked up is now he's consulting for CBDC projects.
Yeah.
He's like, we can make them private. But not from the government.
That's right. Oh, I have a way so that we can unblind this for the government.
Yeah.
What a great chat.
That's where the real consulting dollars are. I mean, Marty, I don't know if you saw my dispatch I had yesterday, but it was this Bitcoin Fog custodial mixer case, and it's all based on. It's all based on the shoddy chain analysis report.
It's sad.
We're basically like this guy claims he did use Bitcoin Fog. He admits that he used Bitcoin Fog as a user, but they're saying he was the fucking operator of it. And basically, if this is allowed to proceed, you could use this bullshit broken probability analysis to pin anything on any Bitcoiner. And meanwhile, he's in jail for the last 2 years. Chainalysis and the other surveillance firms are using this case as basically marketing for their product to the government on how great it is. And while he's been in jail, Bitcoin Fog is still operational, like changing Tor addresses and stuff. Like it's so under it constant maintenance and working. Yeah. It's really fucked up. And they have him as a flight risk, like, because they can make any Bitcoiner a flight risk because of the powers of Bitcoin. So he's denied bail. So for the last 2 years, not an American citizen. He's a Swedish and Russian citizen. He landed in LAX, and now he's just been in fucking jail for the last, and all his money seized, and he's been in jail for the last 2 years because he's a so-called flight risk. It's fucked up.
Yeah. I haven't listened to it yet. I saw you post that, retweeted, because I use it as a reminder to go back and listen to it when I have some time. But yeah, it's how bad, according to the lawyer that you had on, is the probabilistic analysis by Chainalysis?
It's a black box, so hopefully they expose like what sort of statistical analysis, things like that, that they're using that gives them this sort of confidence. Otherwise, like, how are they going to say to this the government that they're this confident that it's accurate and other, you know, companies should be using it, or even agencies?
Well, they don't want to show because it's total bullshit.
Exactly.
It's probably like three guys, wheat crayons, you know, like
they're not
like
Marines
on a board, you know, like sort of circling UTXOs and making like, you know, like connections.
It's so fucked up that they basically, all they provide the defense is a flow chart that supposedly connects him to running Bitcoin Fog. They won't even give, we've talked about this on the show in the past, that you can't just like sign up for Chainalysis. First of all, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars a year subscription, but then they have to approve you. And they're not even giving the defense access to the software, not let alone the source code or anything. They're not even giving them access to like enter Bitcoin addresses themselves or anything. They have to use, you know, block explorers and whatnot and try and figure this out themselves, because none of the other chain surveillance firms will give them access to their shit either, because they're all in bed together, right? They all want the government contracts. Everyone wants it together. So the defense has no fucking context on what the evidence is that it is accusing them of. A bunch of the data is seeded from the original Mt. Gox database, because when Karpeles thought he got hacked, he went to what became the founder of Chainalysis, and he was like, try and find the hacker for me. And he said, I can find it if you give me the full Mt. Gox database. So a bunch of the original data on Chainalysis is based off this Mt. Gox database. And Karpeles was completely inept at running that exchange, could not secure any of his data. There's all this inconsistencies in all the data. But the whole fucking thing is just, it just reeks. It's a fucking black box. The original prosecutor is now like C-suite at Chainalysis. They switched prosecutors. What? The whole thing is just fuxed up.
And is this why OXT is closed source?
That's completely unrelated.
How's the judge in this case?
This is an important conversation. I'm not going to let you derail it.
Do we think there's a chance the judge will actually understand what's going on and be able to make a rational decision? Or because it's not Jerry of his peers, obviously.
So one highlight is, first of all, the judge has already stated that using a custodial mixer, and it's important to realize a custodial mixer is different than collaborative transactions such as CoinJoin, because you're actually sending a custodian Bitcoin and then they're sending you someone else's Bitcoin, right? Collaborative transactions, CoinJoins, are multi-party transactions. You're not giving up custody and you're trying to break this probability analysis that's used to track Bitcoin. The judge said specifically that using a custodial mixer is not a crime in itself. It's operating one. So that's a positive sign so far. The second thing is what they're trying to fight for is just to make all Chainalysis data inadmissible in court and not evidence at all. And there's some precedence there, because there's all these different random CSI industries that popped up through the years, like human follicle analysis and stuff, that were proven to be complete bogus. But there was a lot of money behind them trying to make them admissible in court. So hopefully they can win on those grounds. And then last but not least, you said jury of the peers. It is currently being tried in D.C. jurisdiction. And the reason they said that D.C. is the jurisdiction, even though he's Swedish and Russian and Bitcoin Fog is run, you know, on Tor and no one knows where the jurisdiction is because two D.C. federal agents went onto the live chat help desk of Bitcoin Fog and said, I want to buy Molly and Ecstasy. is this a good site for me to use to launder my Bitcoin? The live desk did not respond to that question, because who the fuck would respond to that question?
Narc.
And then they sent their Bitcoin in anyway, mixed it through Bitcoin Fog, and they're like, okay, like, it's obviously facilitating drug crimes in DC, so this is a DC jurisdiction issue. And that's how they chose DC as the jurisdiction.
That's unfortunate. You better get in touch with
that's full on corruption. That's like entrapment.
I shouldn't be like,
yeah, because the Silk Road case was legit, and they definitely had a bug that they found, and that's definitely how they got him.
I hit him on that
before he closed the laptop. That's exactly how it happened.
Yeah, a lot of parallel construction bullshit.
Well, this ties into the New York Times article in the environmental debate. Like, these people are just going to make up excuses and move the goalpost to try to take Bitcoin down. Like, they're framing a foreign national and have held him hostage for 2 years.
You know, the FTX Air America operation was like the best they have done so far, right? Like, inflate the supply, money laundry for all the politicians, money laundry for Ukraine, like, do all this stuff. But that also failed. And they just found $7.5 billion or something to pay back people.
Well, I would just reiterate one more time.
They found.
The most successful attack so far has been getting every major regulated Bitcoin company to comply with generating lists of Bitcoiners in our transaction history.
Yeah, which but has that's gone any financial institution.
I mean, but that has gone on without a hitch for the most part.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, this was already like – this is COVID. Not Bitcoin. This predates Bitcoin.
It's BSA.
Yeah, that all the bullshit in the financial industry to prevent people from doing what
shit.
You know any. Yeah, it's this.
It's
this
extremely
predates.
Effective.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, because that's all the way back to
data
BSA
they use for all this chain analysis shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it all goes all the way back to the Bank Secrecy Act from
like
70s. So that's again going back to what I'm trying to get at, like the amount of energy spent on like trying to convince these people who obviously do not care about the arguments that we're putting forth. Like Roman, the guy.
It's not about them, right? It's about the people watching it. So like,
exactly.
It's like, yeah, like we're like, we have to debate this imbeciles because, you know, the people are watching, right? Like, so.
And then for every tweet, there's 99% of the people that view that tweet are lurkers that are not going to engage with the tweet.
With this particular X-Frog case, it's like, I mean, if like the chain history is wide open, anybody could download it and dissect it themselves. Like, if Chainalysis has somebody dead to rights on operating the custodial mixer, they should be able to prove it via Chainalysis and open source that. Like, and I think
it would be great if OXT was open source.
Well, you don't even just open source the analysis. Like, here's the chain history that proves that somebody had access to these funds at this point in time.
Since it seems like they're not even trying what to do you that want to open. You want the open source model of like what sort of statistical analysis they're doing to then reproduce it and be like, okay, you know, it's within the sort of with confidence intervals.
Results.
Yeah, exactly.
Margin of error.
Similar results.
Yeah, yeah. So if they're not going to even show that, then what the fuck? Like, I can just write on a piece of paper and then be like, we have, you know, we found the guy. Like,
yeah, but you don't eat crayons.
Hey, my Marine buddies eat crayons. The smart people, they just you got to come up with something else. Crayons is a Marine acronym.
You know, there is like other 170 something countries left in the world who don't have Marines. I mean, they have Marines.
That's why they're irrelevant. Yes, exactly.
I mean, the Marines are in most of them.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
They are. It's at least a base in 80 countries. What else is happening? Is China? I mean, I know you're just making fun of it earlier, Vivek, but is China taking over Taiwan? What's going on there?
I have an ex-colleague, and he said this was kind of blown out of proportion. That was from last year. It's definitely a concern of everyone's, but I think whatever we saw on Twitter, it's more for engagement and attention. And that's back to Noster. I feel like Noster is more tinker, more positive in general. Of course, you get a lot of Chinese porn. Yeah, exactly. You get a lot of Chinese porn, Marty. I'm very sorry. But it's way more uplifting.
Follow them, Marty.
Yeah. It's way more uplifting than Twitter, though. Twitter is always like, oh, look at this like high school fight. And then after that,
it's doomer.
Yeah, it's very doomer.
Yeah, like I became like so like absurdly optimistic now. Like it kind of is getting a little weird. You know, like it feels like a little religious kind of thing. And because like every fucking day, like some like galaxy brain comes up with something else cooler that is actually implementable. Right. Like it's like you got Bitcoin fixed incentives. Right. And now you have like Noster fixes comms. And then you have Cashew, which goes Cashew and Fediment that actually fixes Bitcoin's incapability of scalability. Yes. Right. Like. And this thing is just sort of like snowballing. Like none of this is capturable. Like,
dude, what it's actionable instead of like just complaining about shit.
Exactly.
Like, you know, yeah. Justin Moon said something really good. You can't whine your way into the future.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's what I feel like everybody like going to DC politicians and being like, hey, this is the way.
That's
the
psychopath's doing.
It's like they're whining. Or it's like, just go build it. Just go plug in ASICs. Just go download a Noster
just opt out.
Yeah, it's
just opt out. These people are the
it's
ones
happening.
These people are the ones that need people to fix all their things. They're gonna need a guy to fix their toilet, like fix their TV, everything. So they're useless. You know, if we opt out, then what do they have left?
I mean, like I think it's important.
Broken toilets.
You gotta play the game, but you can't be engulfed by the game. You know, like voting is retarded, but trying to buy politicians is smart. So like, no, seriously, like you have to pick your torture, right? Like we're still meat bags to live here.
This is coming from the BRICS boys, so buying politicians.
Yeah, so it's like, it's important to like, to still like keep these guys from ruining our lives until we get there.
Yeah, so if you want
to don't get engulfed in it. Like, don't get into the labels game of like, you know, I'm right, I'm left, or whatever. Like, you're just fucking idiot.
Please
like,
don't do that.
just build. Yes.
I'm interested to get your perspective on this, guys, too. Now that you mentioned like Noster, Bitcoin, Cashew, Fediment. What are your thoughts on AI? Is it fad? Is it real?
Oh, dude, it's I think we have like another 5-10 years max. I think like essentially all middle management, all the people who write reports and all that shit, it's like all without a job.
Yep.
The broken toilet people.
Like gone. Like all the useless people from like companies, like gone. They're not going to have a job anymore.
And that's actually why I'm pessimistic, because these people don't know how to contribute to society and they're mentally unstable. So what are they going to do with themselves?
They'll learn how to code.
No, they are incapable. They can only write reports and like have like badges and pins and stickers.
Because, you know, these are the people who the boss goes and says, hey, you know, I'm trying to figure out how much we sold in whatever X countries, right? So the guy goes, builds an Excel file, you know, go look at the companies, whatever, right? Like now you're just going to go like as the CEO sitting there, you know, the feet up in the air. Hey, Siri. Because you can actually connect now Siri to GPT chat, right?
Yes.
So you can go like, hey, the AI chat, give me the numbers for this, right?
Q4
like,
revenue, please.
That's right.
Top line.
Builds these beautiful charts and show you all the shit.
I would just say that the AI situation, there's real innovation there. There's some dark shit going on there as well. Like we really need open AI models, right? Like we need open alternatives.
And funding for them.
We can't have like the WorldCoin people controlling AI.
Well,
just real quick. To me, there's a lot of Bitcoin versus blockchain kind of shit going on in AI. Like the majority is probably noise.
Yes.
And it's really hard to figure out what is the signal and what is the noise.
100%.
And I've already spent a decade doing that with Bitcoin versus crypto and blockchain shit. And I'm hoping that someone comes up with like an AI rabbit hole recap that I can just.
So the problem is like
for that.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
I don't want to do the work.
There's a handful of those already. I'll have to show you some after.
Okay. I'm open to recommendations.
There is stuff, but like, it's because like machines don't think like humans, right? They don't actually think. They're just statistical models, right? Like a lot of the stuff looks like silly to us on how they make like the mistakes, right? But what's incredible is like when you use them for the things that they're really good at, right? And that's where the stuff is getting interesting. So all the stuff that used to be called just machine learning, right, which is like basic pattern recognition or right. whatever, it's starting to be used in this like low-hanging fruit garbage AI that's already 10 times better than the previous machine learning.
The LLM boys.
Yeah, so like you're starting to use this stuff. It's like, for example, right, like if somebody goes and builds a model that like, I don't know, finds like chain analysis better, right? They could do that a lot better if they build a model for it. Well, but we know it's all bullshit, so they use the crayon guys.
Well, that's what's gonna be, that's actually something topical for the show too. I mean, LightSpark made their big splash this week, and part of their value prop is the artificial intelligence of their channel liquidity management.
Allegedly.
System.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
I mean, the marketing. That's what the marketing.
That's what they tell the VC.
Well, so let's take a step back.
That's like, what they got that sweet A6PC
yeah, yeah. So,
money.
So are you going to build an LLM to understand Lightning gossip like Bolt 7 and understand your channels and then charge a greater bips percentage or whatever? Or not even forget the bips percentage, just like a sweet fiat number for like enterprise and actually solve it? Probably not. But are people going to buy it? Probably yes. It's just like, it's just clean. You know, it's very clean.
You know, what if somebody builds an AI that creates fake companies with DAX just to get VC money? You know, like, it just fucking produces it.
And then the VCs are just running AI models or whatever.
That's right. Like,
the AI.
And the
businesses.
AI, like, that takes the money, learns from the AI that they have.
This is only possible in the fiat world. Once you have the Bitcoin world, then. They just all
money
get
burnt is actually
out.
Scarce.
Yeah.
Goes back to cash flow. No more unicorn platform.
Unit
place.
Economics.
Yeah.
No more unit economics.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Silly 10 games.
Just fuck sale.
Yeah, do you think there is?
Well, I wanted to touch on that. Wait, before you got into it, I wanted to touch on that because it's really odd that they were all for OpenAI. And they got the Microsoft investment. Like,
no, it's the name is OpenAI. There's nothing the open.
Yeah, exactly. No, but their whole thing was like AI could be very evil, so we need to make sure this doesn't happen. And then suddenly, seven years later.
So the biggest like problem right now is that a lot of countries are making AI illegal to work on unless you're like registered or whatever. So we really need just open source AI because then anyone can work on it. Like you can't ban people from working on software.
You can't ban math.
That's right.
Well,
you can't shoot math either.
Yeah.
Well, also those data sets. How do you guys feel about the data sets? Because the algos may be open, but like the data sets themselves might all be proprietary.
Yeah,
right?
But people are just going to fucking download it on torrent.
Yeah, they'll find some leak on the darknet.
You know, porn was probably one of the biggest ones because, you know, people just went on torrent to download the porn libraries. Like, you know, like, because it's one of the biggest picture banks on the internet that are like pirated.
Right.
So that's probably one of the reasons why it kind of like started there.
And then second, how do you guys feel about like American VCs helping people in China or other places like that that are using this AI for other things like social credit score, things like as Americans traditionally we are against because of our freedom-oriented values?
Well, kind of, right? I mean, you guys
that's
love...
That's bullshit.
So, yeah. The, you know...
I mean, don't you guys us. You're fucking Canadian.
Yeah.
I know. Don't China owns Canada now. Like, I gave up. I mean, like, literally, like, Trudeau doesn't even hide anymore. Like, the guy just receives every foundation that he has
Justin
receives Chinese money.
No, I'm pretty sure, like, Elon is rolling out the social credit score on Twitter. Like, that's what the blue check stuff
that's
is. That's why blue checks get more reach. That's why if you KYC with your credit card and your phone number,
they're
you
gonna
get
more
reach.
They're going to change it to x.com, too.
If you don't use Substack, if you don't use Substack and use whatever Elon's program is, like you get more reach. Like if you like his posts, you'll get more reach. If you use Starlink, you'll get more reach. If you link your Tesla account to it, you'll get more reach.
Do you know what an interesting social credit score? I'm fucking. Do you know what an interesting thing about Starlink
on Twitter?
They went out of their way so you can't run a server on it. Like it really, really, really hard. Yeah, really, really hard. to run any server, like servers, like a service where people have.
Are they, what do they do to do that? Are they watching packets?
They're doing some seriously advanced shit.
What about like VPNs and stuff? Are they?
No, you can use VPN. You can do everything.
But there's
normal.
Too much data going through VPNs. As a user,
but like having people connect to say like DNS and then back to your server, that's on, it's hopeless.
More like NAT stuff.
Yeah, they're doing some serious fucking shit there.
I mean, but they have major bandwidth constraints too, right? So I think there's like a decent business
not really.
Argument, right?
Yeah.
Like at least while they get more satellites up in
I
the
think
air.
There is more to this. Like, listen, you don't get to blanket Earth with satellites and not be an authorized person, like who's sort of like allowed to do things in a certain way. Like, can you imagine you go knock with the CIA?
Hey, it's literally an evil villain movie.
So like,
is what it
I
is.
Have, yeah. So I have like rockets that I'm building and I'm going to blanket Earth with satellites and I'm going to control all the communication.
I'm going to beam
Earth.
Internet from space.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, I mean, just the antennas. Like if you have a chance, there's a dude on YouTube who breaks them down, who understands the shit. Like, man, like the technology of those fucking antennas, like it's just so fucking advanced and so expensive. And the fact that he can just like, oh, you know, we're just going to sell this for like, you know, whatever, $150 a month for you to have internet anywhere on the planet, like super fast.
I mean, they
with satellites in space.
They let him buy Twitter and call it free speech, right?
Right. Yeah, he's allowed to. Sorry, I'm checking.
Is that another Air America? Twitter, Elon?
I think so.
Tesla, no, Starling. You know, I think it's a little different on that one. He just like it's kind of like Howard Hughes having the contract.
I'm calling.
Yeah.
I'm joining Lynn, just calling complete bullshit on Elon. Like SpaceX is cool, Starling's cool, but like all the moves that he makes, like it's always like
he's a fiat guy.
It's like, oh, I'm going to make everything better. And then he always comes up just a bit short, as this week proved. Like,
well, he knows how to suck on the fiat tits, but like,
he's involved in like everything, even like OpenAI, like even though he's washed his hands clean
exactly,
of it, like
yep.
He was at the beginning of OpenAI.
What's the brain reading thing? Neuralink. Yeah. Where's that?
Yeah, Neuralink. Like these people are transhumanists.
I heard he was Klaus Schwab's son.
I mean, he's as white as the guy. I mean,
a friend told me.
No, but like, dude, like I get it, right? I mean, the dude just like he's very good at getting the fiat and doing some crazy shit that actually makes some money, some of them, right? So like,
do they though?
He's scaled. Oh, dude, come on! Like putting satellites in space, nobody does it cheaper. It's very lucrative.
It's, you know, also subsidized. It's not like he is.
Yeah, of course he's the fiat master, right?
Yeah,
but like, it's kind of like a cool gig if you don't care about the morals and ethics of the stuff, right? You're just gonna put the satellites in space.
Speaking of which, the rockets go bankrupt.
Do you have the button?
The NBA team
for
or
the rocket?
They took the SIM card. They took the SD card. So
this would have been the perfect moment.
They like
Marty.
We've been rugged. The soundboard's been rugged.
Marty, like, can you do your
in
soundboard
honor of traditions? The Rockets have been bankrupt.
Come rocket.
Yeah, no, Virgin Thank Galactic, you. Right?
The analog soundboard. Marty, click the soundboard.
Plum Rocket.
Logan has like a shock collar or something.
Oh man.
What else? Oh, another big thing we should probably talk about too, because I read the Lightning Dev mailing list post on it on the plane from Antoine Riard, but still I'm trying to conceptualize in my head this channel management, off-chain channel management upgrade, the hierarchical channel changes.
Yeah,
what is it?
That.
I did not read, but he was talking about it like being similar to splicing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to use the restroom. I'll let him take it away.
Wait.
Oh, wait. I thought that was an explanation. No. I thought we were going to get a restroom metaphor.
Dude, like, no.
We need you.
That one is Galaxy Brain. Like, he's using hierarchical deterministic like paths. No.
He's coming
LMD
back.
LMD uses AZ, so I don't know how hierarchical works. They all use different seeds, but I haven't read the mailing list, so I'm just a fudder right now.
Yeah, no, like it was just, it looked very, the title was great. the title got me. That's as far as I went. Maybe the summary at the top. I mean, the lightning shit is so fucking complicated, man.
Dude, don't press the... Okay.
Don't press the red button.
Just push it.
I'm looking for... I can't find it.
We have... Marty, we have... I mean,
resizing lightning channels off-chain with hierarchical channels. That's what it is.
Marty, you've seen the studio. It's completely overkill because it's a former music studio and they made everything very expensive. Our doorknob for the studio broke and we've been priced at $2,000 for the doorknob. But it's a bear market. It's a bear market. So it's currently duct taped open. And every time $2,000 goes in the studio, the doorknob falls off.
$2,000 for a doorknob? You don't have to replace the whole door?
We do not have to replace the door. We are not paying $2,000 for a doorknob, and we're working at trying to figure out a way to...
Hangers, coat hangers.
We're trying to figure out a way to fix it without doing that. So right now it's duct taped.
It works.
Can we find a freak? Can we send a design to a freak who can 3D print it?
No, maybe.
Probably, actually. Yeah. I mean, if you can 3D print ARs with like a plastic barrel.
I think you can make a plastic door handle.
If you can make a plastic barrel that, you know, it only works a few times, but still.
Yeah.
Rick, if you're listening, let's make this happen.
Come down to Nashville.
Yes.
We'll have a crypto cloak sponsor.
Come grab Matt's knob.
Yeah, Nashville. Thank you. There you go. Put that on the soundboard and smoke it.
Put that on the soundboard. Put that on the soundboard and smoke it on the soundboard, please.
Oh, man.
All right. I'm sorry for my delay. I know it's made things awkward on this side of things.
That's good.
I'm glad you guys are having fun in Nashville. New York Times this week, Texas Bill, that lightning thing. I mean, LightSpark again. We touched on it lightly. Like, what do you think? Because they had that integration. What was that bank they had integration with? They sort of ninja launched a few weeks ago.
Zappo Bank?
Zappo Bank, yes. And has no relationship to Zappo. Like, when's the
society? I don't know. Does it?
I don't know.
Is it as cool as Code Card and Callers?
I think it might because I remember that when Coinbase bought Zappo, they like bought the custody business. They made a point of saying they weren't buying Zappo. They were buying the custody business, like the institutional custody, like the professional custody business. Now Vivek's having trouble opening the cooler.
That's right.
It is Wences, this company.
So I look at LightSpark, and obviously they're trying to compete with Stripe with a P. The fiat payment provider, right?
Stripe is great.
And so like the idea is, you know, you just copy and paste a couple lines of code and all of a sudden you integrate Lightning payments. I didn't go too far into it, but I assume like most of their offerings are going to be completely custodial.
I bet they're just going to go knock on Visa and say, hey, use this so you don't have to touch this cryptocurrency crap.
And Visa's going to love it.
And Visa's going to be,
The pricing seems very high to Bitcoiners, but it's lower than Stripe, right? So it's a 0.5%. It's 50 basis points, as people in suits like to say. And so it'll be compelling to like B2B businesses or whatever. And they might actually have a lot of I have no idea. They might actually have a lot of demand for it.
They'll definitely have demand.
They might do like the Strike thing where they do the fiat on both sides, right? So you're sending a custodial lightning payment between, and they just convert it to whatever local fiat is on both sides. But I think it's kind of one of those things where for corporate suits, like if you set a higher price point, they actually are like, oh, this is more legitimate because it's so fucking expensive compared to
the signal for high value, as they say.
But yeah, they have that sweet A16Z money. This is how shit corners do Bitcoin.
And the people that run LightSpark, right? It's ex Libra or whatever, like David Marcus. So they have that Rolodex. I'm pretty sure you saw Brian Armstrong say he's going to add Lightning. It's probably going to be through LightSpark or something.
This is great for Bitcoin because they're going to have to buy Bitcoin for liquidity. So I support it.
Maybe that's the pump?
No, I mean, like, seriously. Yeah. Like, I mean, again, this shit is going to happen anyways, right? So I'd rather be people who are using Bitcoin instead of something else.
Well, that's another thing to jump into. Pump above 30K. I mean, Matt, that was the last thing we discussed last week. What's going to happen? Did we have the Easter weekend death and resurrection of the price? Bitcoin has risen.
I hope it crashes.
I'm sorry.
It kind of happened, right?
Yeah, it sort of did. Gold's pumping. Inflation, CPI prints down. Of course, that CPI print. Jobs numbers not so good. Are we going into a recession? Is this a cycle that Bitcoin decouples?
We're in a recession.
Is the hash rate, Marty, is the hash rate pumping? Because I swear I keep seeing these blocks coming really fast on this block clock in front of us. Is the hash rate pumping?
We are 1,043 blocks into this difficulty epoch. Still estimated retarget on 420. And right now, estimated difficulty adjustment is 0.1%, so basically flat. So not really.
Are we going to have a May 4th adjustment day?
Potentially.
That could be really cool. That would make the meme a little bit better.
Adjust with you.
It's one of the lamest memes that there is. It's going to make that meme like tolerable.
I like March 4th better.
March 4th. Oh, I get it now. I get it. March 4th.
Oh, forward. Yeah.
But it took me a second.
Yeah.
You all kind of got it at the same time.
Yeah, because it was really bad.
It's a thing. People celebrate it.
Really? I mean, people celebrate it.
I didn't come up with it.
People are still celebrating.
Oh, talk about celebration. Have you guys seen the meme where the guy clipped together Craig Wright's parting videos?
I watched it on Twitter, like 15 seconds.
It's like there's this one that's like many minutes, and it's like just Craig Wright parting, and it's the cringiest fucking thing ever. Screw that guy.
There's a bunch of like under 18 year old people on a yacht with Calvin.
He's a little smarter than Calvin.
Okay.
Fuck Craig Wright.
We're all Satoshi, except Craig Wright.
Oh my God, that video is so good. It was Roger. When he says we're all Craig Wright, right before Craig stabbed him in the back.
I'm trying to think. Anything? Because I know we all have to go. I know you guys have your workshop up
there.
Yeah,
MK has a very intense workshop.
I'm gonna. So Vivek's gonna run the workshop for the top signers and the sets cards. I'm gonna just be heckling him from the audience. That's my plan.
Yeah. So the goal of all this is, you know, onboard a bunch of new people to Nunchuck and split them up so some people figure out sets cards, some people figure out tap signers. And they teach each other. I found out the way you kind of get people to adopt things, you have to explain to them, then you have to demonstrate it, and then you have to guide them through the process. And then after that, they're like enabled then to go on board with whoever else. So once they do it to each other, now it's like almost like Socratic, like our Socratic seminars. They can really go out in the world and just quickly onboard people.
But if it doesn't work, he's fired. So
it better work.
It's going to be great.
I'm telling you, my favorite products... Job. My favorite products to demo to new coiners, Sats Card and Tap Signer. And there's something about like the NFC, the card form factor that really is like, oh, this is something.
It's very straightforward.
An airplane.
Yeah. Well, it's very straightforward. It's very hard to mess up. And I think we'll do so. I don't know. Like Ty might be listening to this, but I don't know how many people.
He is, because he's texting me saying that I should stop looking at my phone.
What's up, Ty? Anyway, so we're gonna split up the workshop, like I said. So my idea is to first educate them about what Nunchuck is, and maybe talk about NFC, how it's used in Bitcoin, maybe the Lightning use case, how it differs from the Bolt card with our NFC cards, and then kind of go over the Tap Signer. Sats card and the Sats chip. However, Sats chip will not be in the workshop. And then we'll split up the room. I'll get some people doing Sats cards, some people doing Tap Signer. Then I'll have to teach each other. And then we'll have funner games where it's like, all right, turn to the right. Get it to a two going. Now turn to the left. Now to a three.
Well, all right, I was
first
see...
to get to 10 of 15, get something special, you know?
Things what, do like they
that.
Get?
What
do they get?
That's what I was going to say. Make the fattest quorum possible.
Exactly. It has to be something like that where it's very memorable, you know, And that's the goal of this. And the goal is not me like lecturing them and be like, okay, if you look at our specification, ISO 4013, like it's none of that. It just isn't developer oriented because of the community that's here is, you know, right now they're more
designers week.
Exactly. So the goal is to them, like, no disrespect to designers, but you know, they're more like capable of meeting people where they're at and like the accessibility aspects. And that's why we really like NFC, because of simple things like QR was great, and QR might be great for cold storage, but there's certain drawbacks. Man. Because of the bandwidth. Yeah. And like you could have single SIG or single UTXO, but once you get more, the QR encoding gets really condensed. Depends on what camera or the screen you're using. So if you're using a phone, fantastic. But if you're using another hardware wallet, you're trying to just hang out there all day, and is the memory enough to even do it? Will it crash? Like, so there's significant issues like that. So the goal is to explain all this and just be like, all right, now forget it all and just tap. That's all it is.
Yeah, just use it.
He's going to tap that.
Yeah. Just tap this.
Should I work this into the ad reads? Just tap that.
Just no, tap that. Marty, like, you make the best ad reads. Like the best. Like, do not take
any. You don't write that script for him?
Did you? No.
Marty, it's all
I know. I haven't gone off a script for an ad read in like 2 years. So anybody who sends
they're me. Really good. They really are. It, like, people don't understand. It's like we, you know, we support the podcasters, and it was just sort of like we never talk to them again. Like, it's like
you talk all the time.
No, like about like ads.
Are we friends?
I don't know. Who are you? No, but like about ads and stuff, like there's no communication.
Yeah, no, correct. That is true.
Anyways, so you don't write all the ad reads that people read? Nope. That might offend people?
Nope.
By accident?
No, they do that themselves.
Have I offended anybody?
No.
No, not you, but another podcaster may have offended someone about something, calling someone somewhere.
Holy shit, dude. Talk about censored.
I'm so confused right now.
Phone home campaign, TM.
Oh, right. Anyways. Moving on.
Okay, well,
should we?
Did we ever read Cloud's dashboard? What about boostergrams? You want to just read the boostergrams real quick?
Yeah, I'll read boostergrams.
Well, let me send a boostergram
right now on the spot.
Yes, yeah, on the spot.
All right, let's see if it comes.
Say, Marty likes porn or something.
Yeah.
just make sure it's like 10 million sets, so you're sure it's on the top.
Hang on. Ah, these apps don't work.
Not in here, right?
The internet's slow. One second.
You got full bars of LTE.
Okay, yeah, but clearly it doesn't. Okay, rabbit hole recap. All right. The bricks bucks. Okay. There you go.
We only read the top boostergrams price wise.
Okay, I'm going to add more.
Thank you.
Marty's waiting to read.
Hang on.
While I'm waiting to read, freaks.
What else?
Go.
Apologize for my remote setup here with this delay. I know it's created.
Oh, wait.
Some,
I don't know if there's enough for this. Oh, maybe there is.
Of the conversation.
Need me to pay the invoice?
You're good. What, you're just like an Airbnb Wi-Fi?
Boom.
You're in a hotel or Airbnb?
There you go.
Hotel.
It's gone. It's a good one. 100K sats.
Oh, wow. If it has to call a server, it is not cold storage. This is true.
Thank you, Freak. Appreciate your support.
Why are you looking at Matt laughing?
I'm going to start doing this more often.
It is known.
That was from at MVK. MVK, thank you for the boost. Love the support.
Appreciate
at
it.
Eric,
what was it? I missed it. We were cackling.
Oh, I'll repeat it. If it has to call a server, it is not cold storage.
I see. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think I agree with that. At Eric99, stay humble, stack sats. 100,000 sats.
Great advice.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for the extra big boost last week.
Appreciate you.
At Mir. God, it's always hard reading these names. Mirko Rainer, If you're out for the Ginger Hill Beef he's Initiative, awesome.
I don't know how to say his name either.
Eight Mithrander, right?
No,
he
sends me like.
It's not awesome. Eight Mithrander.
This, this is someone different. This is Mika Rayner. This is someone different, right?
No, no, this is the same.
The Nims are the best.
What did he say? How many sats did he send?
42,000 sats. If you're out for the Ginger Hill Beef Initiative Micro Summit, which is next Friday and Saturday, in Virginia, stay a week and come to Bitcoin Brunch in Winchester, Virginia, hosted by Shenandoah Bitcoin Club. We're in the meetup app, Shenandoah Bitcoin Club. Shenandoah. Shenandoah. Bitcoin.club is the website from GK at GNILMA. Gnilma? 11,111 sats. Marty moved to Texas without moving his hash to Texas. Some kick-ass decentralization in action here. Thank you guys for your good work. Keep working. Keep it real. Thank you for recognizing, you know, we moved to Texas. I do believe Texas is the greatest place to live in the United States right now. But you know what? I'm not a sheep. I'm not a cattle. She's going to follow everybody to Texas to mine Bitcoin. I saw it was getting a little too crowded in Texas. And even though I lived there, I sent my miners up to Tennessee. It's a little less crowded. Too much hash
Marty,
in Texas.
Which state,
too
which
crowded
state
for
has
miners,
the best Elon Carber credits? Can I offset my Bitcoin carbon emissions?
Bitcoin doesn't
we have carbon. A FedEmint contract to do carbon
Pierre
credits?
Settled this. Bitcoin does not emit carbon.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought he just literally shoot out carbon like out of the phone. Like when
he tested it. There was a scientific experiment.
Believe the science.
I do mine Bitcoin on stranded gas and stranded methane that would otherwise leak into the atmosphere. So I'm pretty sure I could sell you carbon credits because I'm offsetting methane leaks. So if you need some,
everybody's a scammer.
Come buy them for me. I'll give them to you. Like we'll do it on liquid.
Everybody's a scammer.
Hey, you should put your carbon credits in Charmian form on our SAS cards.
There you go. Everyone is a scammer.
All right. Speaking of everyone's a scammer, is the only way to truly do an ordinal the correct way to keep it on an open dime or a SATS card? Thomas Packy and I had this debate.
Yeah, my ord is in a SATS card.
Is that the only – because
I have an ord.
You actually keep – it's the UTXO. Keeping the UTXO that was mined in that particular block with that particular ordinal associated with those particular Satoshis. Is that the only way to keep the sanctity of an ordinal? I think yes.
I mean, the only way to do it, as I understand, is to get Rindell to do it for you. That's how it happened to me. I'm like, put my avatar on an inscription. So I put on the SATS card.
Well, so here we had the great chance to meet CB Spears and Lolo. I guess they run one of these ordinals communities, and they try to get more of these NFT like people doing on shitcoin chains to do it on the Bitcoin chain. And I feel Rendell has found the sweet spot where he's got people to put on the SATS card, which is the compromise, right? Where you don't have to keep moving these transactions, just physically pass the SATS card and let's get it done with. So I've given CB Spears the reader and a couple SATS cards and kind of encouraged the community to do this instead.
Everybody's a scammer.
Yep.
I want to sell SATS cards.
You can't.
You tap it. TM.
He's way worse than I am.
Because of Bitcoin's UTXO model, you cannot actually transfer an inscription unless you believe in the bullshit ordinal theory, which is, you know, just external.
Subjective bullshit.
Numbering, subjective.
Numerology.
Well, yeah. So what it is, Rendell told me, it's like first in, first out for the output, right? Yep. And you need to have enough fees because Casey had something called postage. And that's all it is. So it's hard to mess that up. But you don't need to run Ord's core or something, which
you're missing the point, Vivek. You cannot transfer an inscription.
Once you spend the UTXO,
you can handle it.
Yes.
You can hand it to someone.
It's kind of like graffiti, and you think you own it. Yeah.
No, you can. You can, but you need to have coin control. That was the whole point.
Oh, yeah.
No, because even if you move a coin, you burn a UTXO and create a new one. Like, it's not the same thing.
None of this matters.
No, it's first in, first out. You're good after that. Like, it goes through that.
None of this matters, except the mempools will never clear again. Stay humble, stack side.
And just happen.
Peace and love, freaks.
No, it didn't. Cheers.